Amen. Well, I'm excited for us to continue to worship in the Word this morning. It's been said before, but I'll say it again, Merry Christmas, or Merry Christmas Eve to those who celebrate. I'm excited for us to continue in our Advent series. Just it's a special time as we think about what tomorrow brings. But Christmas season is always just a great fun time for us as a church, for hopefully you, family and friends. It can also be a sad time, as maybe you think of loved ones who aren't here, or maybe you're in a stage of life, or something could be going on that makes it troublesome, but it's also a time of rejoicing. And I think the beauty of the gospel is that we can have the tension of both of those things. You can be sad and joyful simultaneously. And so this morning, we just want to rejoice and think about the light of Christ. We have all of our kids in service today, so I will be briefer than usual, or attempt to be. But also, we love the sound of kids. And by we, I mean I. It does not bother me at all. I think it's a great sign for a church. I hope we have lots of sounds of a lot more children in the coming years. So if even if it's my kid rolling around in the back or someone else, that is okay. I'm going to power through. Some of you that are used to kids won't even notice. To those of you who aren't around children a lot, will maybe be a little confused, but we can try to lock in. So we'll try to be short and sweet and think about what it means to celebrate Christmas around the theme of love. As we've mentioned, each candle represents something different. So we focused on a different topic for each week, every Sunday, building to, of course, Christmas Day tomorrow. But as we're thinking about Christmas and that coming tomorrow, there are a lot of things you're probably looking forward to. I enjoy, and this is to no surprise, a lot of really good food on Christmas. I love all of the sweets. I don't think calories count around the holidays. Honestly, they don't count for me most of the year, but that's a different story. But you get some of your favorite family things. Maybe there's a dish you're looking forward to that you or a grandparent or someone prepares, or a recipe that's been passed down, those kind of things we get excited about. Probably some gift exchange. Most, if not all of you, will open a present tomorrow. And it's interesting, some of you will be shocked at what you got someone else, because maybe somebody else did the shopping for you, and you're just as surprised tomorrow as the person receiving the gift, and you're like, yes, I'm so glad we got you that. Some of you will be excited about things that you open. Some of you maybe have already exchanged gifts. We've already done a little part of our Christmas with part of our family, and so maybe you've already opened something, but all of us are probably looking forward to that. I want you to think about a gift now that we're talking about that. Maybe one that was like the coolest present you ever got, or one of the most life-changing presents, like something you were really looking forward to. It's interesting, I don't know if you all have noticed this, the older you get, the more excited you get about practical gifts, like appliances or things like you're like, yes, like a brand new, like I would never get this for my wife, this is a pro tip guys, but like a brand new vacuum cleaner or something like that. Like that can't come from you, but some of those things, like I remember getting some of those and you're like, yeah, like as a teenager, I would have been like, are you seriously? You got me a washer and a dryer? But as an adult, if someone did that, I'm like, you sacrificed and you got me a like, what can I do to repay you? So the older you get, the more excited you get about those kind of things. But try to think about something that maybe was like the most life-changing gift you've received. Maybe it was something practical. Maybe it was like a teenager, college years, you actually got a vehicle. Like that's pretty cool. It always amazes me at the commercials this time of year when people make life-altering decisions to like put a car, you know, they've like a Lexus in the driveway. And I'm like, you unless you paid cash, which I didn't know about, how did we make this joint purchase? And like, that's not a present to agree to, like, you know, normal people don't do that. Hey, I bought you a $65,000 vehicle. It's in the front yard and I didn't tell you about it. Merry Christmas. Like, I know those are commercials. I'm not really sure that happens. Maybe in your home, but it probably doesn't happen a lot of places. But maybe it was a vehicle, though. It was something that was like, this was a truly life-changing gift. Maybe it was like the coolest toy, the thing you've been waiting forever, and you finally got it. You're like, my life will never be the same. I finally got an Xbox. Like some of you, that probably did change your life. Maybe not for the better. But I want you to think about something that was like the most life-changing, life-altering gift. And I know it's cliche. And sometimes around Christmas, if we're not careful, we'll just say those things, and you'll hear the story, and you're like, yeah, we do this every year. But the beauty of celebrating Christmas is that we know the gift that we have in Jesus is one that changes everything. And if you're not careful, for some of you who've grown up around the church, maybe you've been a follower of Christ for a long time, or you've heard this message many, 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 many years, then you just know, this is what we do. We celebrate Christmas and Jesus is here. Yay, Jesus. Some of you do happy birthday, Jesus. You make him a cake. Or some of you maybe have a special countdown. We do an Advent countdown. You do these different things. And yeah, you think about Jesus, but he's kind of just part of the equation. And it's just kind of like, yeah, you check, like, yeah, of course, Christmas, Jesus is the reason for the season. But I don't think sometimes it really like implants into our heart, into our soul, how life-changing, no matter how many times you've heard it, how life-changing the gift of Jesus really is. So I want us just to try to hear that with fresh ears this morning. And though it may sound cliche, it is true. We can rejoice year after year because the birth of Christ is one of the most significant events in human history, and Jesus is worth celebrating. So it is worth all the hoopla. It is worth every ounce of energy you would ever put into a Christmas gathering or anything you're doing with your family that celebrates the birth of Jesus. He's worth the effort. We try to be intentionally simple at City View, but he's worth, today I drove to church in the dark. I can't remember the last time that happened. Praise God. Hopefully it happens again and in the future. But it's like he's worth anything that we would ever sacrifice to celebrate because of who he is. So let's not miss the gift of Jesus just because we've heard it over and over and over again. So we're going to look somewhere different this morning. We're going to look in 1 John chapter 4. You maybe have never heard a Christmas message from this passage. Maybe you have, but it goes in line with our theme. The theme of today is love. So we've talked about the hope, the peace, and the joy we have in Christ. And today we're going to talk about the love that can be found in Christ. So you're going to be in 1 John 4. It's a smaller book in the Bible, actually almost near the very end of the story of Scripture, just a couple of pages before the book of Revelation that wraps up the story that we have. But in 1 John, we're going to be in chapter 4, and we're going to look at a few verses there. It'll be on the screen, so you know that, but the title is Love. And here's the main idea. The birth of Christ makes experiencing God's love possible for all. And you don't want to freak out when you say Jesus is alive and that changes everything. It really does. Now, you may say this gift changed me or this opportunity, and in some ways it probably did change or shape your life, but this is the one thing 100% of the time we can say Jesus changes everything. And this love that he has for all of us is only possible because of his birth. The cross never happens without the birth, and so we know it starts in a manger. That's a big deal. So I'm just going to read in 1 John 4. I'm going to start in verse 7. I'm just going to read verse 7 through 9. And then we'll pray together. I think this will be on the screen. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this truth we have in your word. As we celebrate Christmas and his birth and what that means, think about the life of Christ. Help us to appreciate the love that you've shown us through Jesus. Help us to hear that with new and fresh ears this morning, but also as we celebrate tomorrow to think and reflect on Christ in a new in a living way. Lord, encourage our hearts this morning. Regardless of the emotions we're feeling right now, help us to feel the love of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want us to look at the word today and just see why love and Christmas are inseparably linked. Like, obviously, it's a theme as we think about Advent, but these two themes, love and Christmas, are inseparably linked because of the truth and the story that they tell, and we can't miss that. I think it's really neat even when we think about kids and our family, and obviously when you have babies and kids and you're thinking life just brings a whole new meaning. Seth and Abby are expecting, and so you're thinking about what Mary would have felt and how Abby's processing this new life that's coming to the world. And I mean, we say this about our kids because you know your kid may not change the world, but they certainly will change your world. And that's worth it. And so, we want to raise world changers. Well, you are, because they change your world overnight, and every parent understands that. But it's also cool because, like, for Bennett, who got to be a part of our candle lighting, tomorrow is literally his birthday. Like, can you imagine celebrating the birth of Jesus and reflecting? I get the first Christmas morning holding your kid, thinking about, like, it just brings whole new meaning. And so we want you to see and think and just think about the life and the tenderness of the child. And think about the baby in a manger and what that life meant for us. And so we're going to ask today, what is so special about love and Christmas? As we think about life and Christ and these two themes being interlocked, what is so special about them? And I'm going to give you three reasons I think that they're special and connected. The first, the birth of Christ reveals God's love for us. So Christmas is special because it's the birth of Christ, and it connects us to love because the birth of Christ actually reveals God's love for us. If this didn't happen in this way, we may not have understood the way that God loved us. So let's look back at what I just read. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So how do we know that the birth of Christ reveals God's love for us? And what is it that we can learn about the truth we see here in these verses? One thing I want you to see is that the birth of Christ helps you understand God wants to be known. God could have chosen not to reveal himself. God could have chosen a different way or chosen a totally different path, but he chose to reveal himself to us through his Son. That means that we serve a God who wants to be known, who wants you to know his name and say that I know yours. A God who wants a relationship with you, or he never would have sent his Son into the world in the way that he did and taking on this human flesh. So we know that God wants to be known because he didn't hide this from us. And so we see God's love wrapped in Christ, in swaddling clothes, in this manger. What we also see, not just that the birth of Christ steps into this new era of a relationship with him, God taking on flesh and wanting to be known among his creation, but we see something special because it also mentions the death of Christ. And this is the tension we feel in the gospel, because the tenderness of the baby in the manger cannot be told and appreciated without the gory and the agony of the cross. In fact, the cross, and in Easter, in a few months, what we celebrate and think about, the agony of the cross is not as big a deal if you just think about Jesus at 33. But when you think about the babe in the manger and the tenderness of a child and knowing that that life was brought into the world for the purpose that he would fulfill, it just creates this connection to see that the love of God is embodied in Christ in a way that only could be in him. So we know that God wants to be known. We know that he loves us because he shows it to us in the life and death of Christ and speaks to this atonement. So God is love. The way he treats people, the way he cares for people, the way he provides for people. But the perfect embodiment of the love of God is actually seen in the death of Christ. So it starts in the birth of Christ. This love is welcomed into the world. Just like you welcome a child into the world, and it's the most beautiful, terrifying thing ever. And that's what's happening here in the birth of Christ. But the beauty of Christmas is because the cross and the resurrection are also true. And that's what we see here in 1 John. It reminds us of how he's been born, but also that he would die. So his love was revealed that he sent his Son so that we could live. But how do we live? Because of verse 10. Not that we loved God first, but he loved us. So we can only respond to his love for us. And we know that he loves us because he sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So some people explain that the way the word atonement can be understood, if you would break it down, you could say atonement could be like at one meant. We're made at one with God. And so something had to be punished because of the sins of us, the sins of the world. And here's the irony of the gospel, is the only perfect, precious child to ever live that never sinned was the one who paid the penalty for our sins. So we see that the birth of Christ reveals God's love for us because he was willing to take on humility. He was willing to take on human flesh, but he was also willing to live a perfectly obedient life to the point of death on the cross that we celebrate when we think about Easter and his resurrection. So you can't forget that sweet little baby is also the one that made us right with God because he paid the punishment for our sins. So the atonement, the making one, the making right with God was only possible because of the death of Christ. And I would say, wow to that, amen. That is an amazing truth that we celebrate and we think about. It's only possible. The cross never happens without his birth. And so we can find forgiveness of our sins because of Jesus. And we know that's true here. And then in verses 11 through 16, I want you to see another reason that we can see the special connection of love and Christmas. And that's this. The birth of Christ allows us to receive and display God's love. So he puts his love on display through Christ, but then he makes it possible for us to receive and then display that same love. Let's look in verse 11. It says, "Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." And so we see this connection. It says, "Dear friends, beloved ones, God has shown you his love in this way through Christ. So now we can be made complete in him." One, we can receive this love, so that's what has to happen. We can receive the love of Christ, and then we can also display the love of Christ. The way that we receive it is hidden here in the text. We have seen and we testify. He sent the world as a Savior. So how can we receive the Savior? In verse 15, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God." So God's love is on display through Christ to the world. Whether or not you acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, you can still experience the love of God and enjoy his creation. But the only way that we can have a special relationship and to really enjoy God's love forever and for him now to come and dwell in us is if we repent or turn from our sin. We confess our sin and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to acknowledge and surrender to his lordship. And so it's interesting, we think the tension, because we're surrendering to this baby. You see this picture, the shepherds and the wise men and people come and they bow before this baby because they understand there's something special. It's not just a child. And so here's the reality. Many of you may have heard the Christmas story, the Christmas message before, and you may benefit just from the God's like general goodness and love, but that doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God forever. And so here's the transition you have to understand that takes place in the story of Scripture. This is very important. In the Old Testament, the first books of the Bible before the birth of Christ that tell us about the history of God's people and creation leading up and kind of predicting that Jesus, the Savior, would come, pointing to the fact that we'd need a Savior. It was God among us. Okay, he would sometimes show up as a pillar of fire or cloud. He would be in the Holy of Holies. If you've been here and think about the book of Hebrews of the Old Testament, he dwelt in this holy place and you would go there once a year and you knew where God's presence was. It was kind of God among us. But then what do we celebrate at Christmas? Jesus is what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so now God is with us. That's the birth of Christ. But you see the transition that happens in 1 John 4 is if you're going to really enjoy God's love, it was God among us. Now Emmanuel, God with us. But if you really repent and believe, now it's the Holy Spirit, God in us. And that transition has to take place. He's among us in the Old Testament. Now he's with us in a special way in the birth of Christ. But when you're made new, when you're born of God, when you receive his love, now it's God in us. And so God in us is not possible without God with us. So the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, makes the rebirth of us possible. His birth makes your new birth possible. God with us makes it possible for the Holy Spirit now to say, "I'm God in you." And that's how we celebrate. And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas. That's why we can celebrate this around the world with people who don't even know our language. Maybe you've been on a mission trip or you've met someone in public even here and you get a sense, I think they're a follower of Christ. How do you know? Because the Spirit in them is kind of speaking to the Spirit in me. And you can kind of tell there's something different about this person. There should be. It's the Holy Spirit. We're now indwelled. Think about the same Spirit that represented the presence of God at the Ark of the Covenant that was on the Son through his birth is now in you. That's the beauty of Christmas. He goes from among us to with us to in us, Emmanuel. And we see that. So now we can receive God's love by repenting and believing and experiencing and then also display his love. That's why it says, "Dear friends, we must love others. We must love the world. No one can see God, but they can see you." So why is it important, not just in Christmas, but for all seasons, why is it important for us to display the love of God, to be like the light of the world? Because we are the picture of God to a lost world. And in fact, many of you came to Christ because someone was that picture to you. That could have been someone in your home. Could have been a loving parent who pointed you to the light of Christ and displayed that regularly, imperfectly, but regularly. Or it could have been a pastor or a friend or someone who cared enough to say, let me tell you about the good news. It was probably the light of Christ in them that drew you to this good news. That's what we're embodying. That's what we had our Go Tell Christmas campaign. We just wrapped up last week. We gave toys and other things. We went and we served because the light of Christ is supposed to shine through us, especially during this season. So the birth of Christ allows us to receive and display God's love because we, as his people, are now this picture of his love to a lost and dying world. Now, some people would say this, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. I would say that's a misguided quotation. I would say it's always necessary to use words to preach the gospel, but our actions should reflect the light of Christ so that this person's heart maybe is ready to receive the message we can give them later. And so we always want to display God's love, but you also at some point do have to speak of God's love. You do have to tell people. Like, did any of you ever come to Christ without actually hearing, repenting, and believing? No. There are some places around the world in the mission field I've heard of some crazy dreams, but even that probably had a Christian to help them understand God's word. And so I would say that quote, I understand the gist of it, but it's probably a little misguided. But we want to make sure we do both here at City View. That we display the love of God through our actions and we boldly proclaim it with our words. That's what we do. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. And then we see verses 17 through 21. And the third way this is connected is that the birth of Christ enables us to love others. All right, so it's going to change the way we not just display God's love to the world, but it actually affects our interpersonal relationships. Verse 17, in this, love is made complete with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. You see the oneness, now God in us. So if it's God, it's us, we're connected. And because of that, in verse 18, there's no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone loves, or if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him, the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. There's a couple important things to see. First, we have confidence because of God's love. Because of God's love, because of him, because of the transition, God among us, God with us, to God in us, I now have confidence. And that love casts out fear. I'm not going to be afraid on the day of judgment because I'm not standing before God alone. I'm standing before God with Christ. And that's what he's saying. Doesn't mean you'll never be afraid. Doesn't mean you'll never be nervous here. But it means on the day of judgment, you can have confidence because it's Jesus speaking on your behalf, not just you. And so we're anchoring our confidence in the love of Christ. It's a picture to me of like returning from a trip. There's two different fathers who might come back. There might be either you're returning to them or they're returning to you. But if you think about a returning father who's been on a trip, loving father is going to come back maybe with gifts or something, and you just can't wait to welcome them. You know, just big warm, oh, I missed you, Dad. It's like the best thing in the world. You come home and your kids are still excited to see you at home. Oh, Daddy's home. I know that won't last forever, so it's just you embrace that. Oh, here, I got this while I was on this trip. And it's that warm embrace of a father's love. That's the picture that we have here of this day of judgment. Not what some of you, unfortunately, may have had this picture of a harsh or distant or cold father who returns home from a trip and is just mad about the things you didn't do or looks right past that, comes back and on a phone. So, dads, this is free advice. If at all possible, when you get home, don't walk in your house on the phone. Finish it outside and come in. Like, you want to embrace that moment. If you can, like, if you got to finish your work and then step in. Because this is this picture of cold or distant. Because this picture, if you don't have God's love, I'm afraid to approach the Father. I'm afraid to tell him about this. I'm going to upset him. Or what, like, that is not the picture of what God is saying here. Is that when I have the love of Christ, it's the warm fatherly embrace that I know he can't wait to see me. And I can't wait to see him. That's the picture of the reunion we're going to have with God one day and the confidence that we have because of the love of Christ. And so it gives us that confidence, cast out that fear, and then we can step into and live in the love that he has for us. And so we see this idea now connected. Because of my love for God, I can also love others and have the confidence to live as he lives and show that love to a world, a lost and dying world. And so it gives us convicting truth here. It says we must love brother and sister. And so for all the kids in the room, including mine, your love for your brother or sister is a test for your love for God. And some of you with siblings are starting to sweat bullets right now because you may be adults, but you're going to see your siblings at Christmas and you're going to start to think, okay, where am I going to sit at Christmas dinner? How do I show, Pastor, why'd you have to make me show the love of God tomorrow? You know it's always going to be a fight when we get home or yapping or whatever. Sometimes those sibling rivalries continue into adulthood. Maybe not so much a rivalry. Yeah, it can still happen. But it certainly happens at a small, younger age. And those of you that have kids in that stage understand. They may love each other, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know if you love God right now. Okay, because that'd be a great question. Are you demonstrating the love of God to your sibling? It's probably a little bit of a Jesus juke, but you get the point of what's happening. All right, so the sibling is a great picture for us to think about, because if you have siblings, I guarantee you've had a knockdown, drag out. Like, you've had some fights. You've had some things where it's like, I didn't know you were capable of this. There are only certain people in the world that can bring it out in you. It's probably your brother or your sister. No one else is going to see that, okay? You know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's also a picture of how we should love the world. Because essentially what he's saying, look, it's easy to love God. We've said that before here. God is perfect. He sent this precious child to die for you, and he's made you right with him. That's kind of easy to love a perfect God. But you know what? It's hard to love people. And so the Christmas season, we think about loving people during Christmas. Yesterday, I had the beautiful privilege of going to the Cumberland Mall in the evening. I mean, it was just more people than it was like I was at the Braves World Series parade, except there was no parade. And it was more of like, no, I saw that first. And, you know, and it's like the exact opposite of the Christmas spirit. It took me longer to park than it probably did to shop. And it was great for my sanctification. That is what happens at Christmas, right? Those kind of things where you're like, Jesus loves you, that's my spot, you know? And it's like, that's a good picture of like what we're feeling during this season. And so it's like, Hey, Bertie. Okay, we can just for a minute. Okay, so we're feeling that picture during this season, but it kind of gives you a test. It's easy to love God. It's easy to worship and celebrate here, but a real test of our love, a real test of our relationship with God is how we love the world. How do you love strangers? How do you love siblings? How do you love friends and neighbors? That's what we've got to test ourselves with during the season. So it says the birth of Christ enables us, she's got a mic now, the birth of Christ enables us, amen, it's okay, she didn't get her way, the birth of Christ, are you loving God right now, Bertie? Mm-hmm. The birth of Christ enables us to love others. So a true test during this season is not just that we love God, not that we can just reflect on a morning like this, but how we treat others. Not just now, but year round. Love should be a defining mark of Christians. There should be something unique that's like, why would you treat this person this way? Or why would you give to this cause? Or why would you help this person in need? You don't know them. It's like, I don't have to know them to love them because I love God and they're created in his image. That's what should stand out about the church of Jesus Christ. The bride of Christ should be showing the love of Christ. And his birth enables it because I can receive it. Now that enables in my heart because he's now in me. That enables me to love people in a way that's uncommon. That's not natural, that's countercultural. And then we can get to the hope and the point of the gospel. So I just want to reflect on that this season. That's my encouragement. Let's receive. Let's make sure you've received. Let's receive and display the love of Christ, not only during this season, but all the time. And what better way to celebrate Christmas than to give your life to Christ? Maybe some of you for the first time have heard this and like, you know, that is a test and I know God loves me, but I'm not sure I love him. I'm not sure I've ever actually surrendered and repented of my sin and believed in Jesus. Now would be a great time just to cry out to God and do that, just to pray to him now. And there may be some of you who've made that decision, but you've not yet fully surrendered your life to Christ. There's an area or something that it's just, you know God wants that part of your life or your heart or your service. What better way to celebrate Christmas but to say, God, it's all yours. Because the only gift we can really give him as a living sacrifice is ourselves. There's nothing else you can give a God who has everything. One of my favorite memes that I saw this Christmas season that I, of course, shared with my wife It says, what do you get a wife for Christmas when she got everything when she married me? You know, and I'm like, I'm kind of baffled. I don't know, because you're blessed in this holy matrimony with us together, but I still got her something. But that is a true picture of what it's like. Like, what do you get God? Like, there's nothing you can give him. And so often we look silly. It's, you know, a kid with no money or using your money to buy a gift for you. It's like, we're bringing this back to him, and that's a picture, but he's like, that's okay, because I don't want anything you give me. I just want your heart. And so that's what you need to hear this morning. He just wants you. It's all God wants is you. So just surrender to him. So what we're going to do to kind of reflect on that is we're going to light this last candle. And what we're going to do, I want you to think about the light of Christ. And this last candle is what this represents, the light and the life of Christ. So each of these, hope, peace, joy, love. But then now we're going to light this candle because that means he's coming. He's here. That's what Christmas Eve and Christmas is all about. And so I'm going to light this last candle. We're going to sing a song. But as we do that, I just want you to reflect. I want you to reflect on the life of Christ. I want you to reflect on the light of Christ. I want you to ask yourself, am I reflecting this light to the world? If people just observe my life and my actions and my words, would they see the love of God? Because we should be a tangible picture of the love of God. And so I'm going to light this candle, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a moment to reflect. The band's going to lead us in our final song. And as they lead us in our final song, and when it's time, Abby will tell you to stand. I'm going to come by, and I'm actually going to start lighting candles. So you can go ahead and get your candle. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to light a candle, let this sit for a minute. I'm going to come to one side of the room and then the other. And we're just going to pass this light all the way back. And I want you to reflect on the light and the life of Christ as you sing and you hear the words and as we think about the candle even that you're holding. So I'm going to light this main candle, and then I'll pray and we'll start. Father, we thank you for what this light represents. We thank you for the life of Christ. And what a reminder that at Christmas, the theme of Christmas and love are inseparably linked because of the birth of Christ. Help us to reflect on all that the baby in the manger represents because of the life you'd go on to live. Lord, help us to appreciate that transition, that yes, we celebrate at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, to now you being in us as followers of Jesus. We're indwelled by your Holy Spirit. And when we're indwelled by your Spirit, we can display the love of God to the world. And just as these lights shine in the candle, our light shines to a lost and dying world. And the light of Christ through us pushes back against the darkness and the lostness in this world. Lord, some of us may even experience brokenness now. I pray that anyone who's broken right now would receive the light of Christ. Some for the first time, or just maybe in a renewed way. God, we ask you to make yourself known. Help us to worship you as we should during this Christmas season. We love you, God. Pray all this in Jesus' name.